Good morning, brethren. You know, critics of the Bible often point out scriptures that seem to contradict each other. For example, let's turn to 1 John 2 and read an admonition that the Apostle John gives us. 1 John 2, we read verses 15 through 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. God plainly tells us that we're not to love this world. To be clear, the word love is the Greek word agapeo, which means to love. Mr. Armstrong defined this agape love, this godly love, as an outgoing concern. The word world is from the Greek word cosmos, which means an orderly arrangement, a decoration. We know that this cosmos in which we live in is Satan's orderly arrangement. It's Satan's decoration. We know that this cosmos in which we live is not of God. So John states that we're not to have an outgoing concern for this current orderly arrangement. We're not to desire what this world has to offer us because it is under Satan's control. But now let's look at what John says in John 3. A very, very well-known scripture. John 3, 16 and 17. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now the word loved here is also the word agapeo. And the word world is also the word cosmos. These are the same words used in 1 John 2. God clearly commands us not to love the world, yet he loved the world enough to sacrifice his Son. Now this seems contradictory. God telling us not to love the world, yet he loved the world. Aren't we supposed to mimic our Father in heaven? Aren't we supposed to do what he does? But let's take a closer look at what is being stated in these scriptures. First, let's look at the context of John 3:16. In verse 14, Jesus talked about the brass serpent made by Moses. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's look at this serpent in Numbers 2, 8 through 9. Numbers 2, 8 through 9. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The brass serpent was placed on a pole. Now this word pole means a flag or a signal, an ensign. In other words, the brass serpent was placed so that it could clearly be seen by the people. It had to be lifted up on a pole. Satan, the serpent, has bitten us, and we're all doomed to die. And just like this brass serpent was lifted up on a pole, Jesus Christ was lifted on a stake so all could see him. And just as when someone was bitten by a snake in the congregation of Israel and was healed by looking upon the serpent, anyone bitten by Satan will be given life if they believe in Christ, the one lifted up on the stake. In verse 16, John 3:16, the key word here, or the key phrase, is so loved. This word so is the Greek word houtos, which means in this manner. What Christ is showing is how God loved the world. Let's read verses 16 and 17 in the New English Translation. This is the New English Translation. For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. This is the way God loved the world. This is how he loved it. Now let's look at the instruction in 1 John 2:15. We're not to love the world. We're not to show an outgoing concern for Satan's orderly arrangement, nor the things that are in Satan's arrangement. But this verse goes on to instruct us how not to love the world. These are the things that we must not love: the lust of the flesh, an inordinate desire for things related to the body, the lust of the eyes, an inordinate desire for things we see, covetousness, and the pride of life. God resists the proud. There's no room for arrogance before God. Notice that these are all selfish, inward attributes, whereas godly love is always outgoing, flowing from him. Notice also it nowhere says that we are not to love the people, mankind. Because mankind is enslaved by Satan. And one day the blame will be placed on him appropriately. And these people do not know what they're doing, as Christ pointed out to us when he was on the stake. When Satan's world passes away, all the attributes of that world will die with it. Satanic lust will be replaced by godly love. And that love will go on forever. Galatians 6 shows how we are to approach those in this world. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to love all people. They are created in God's image. They are his creation. They are potential God beings. And we are to love them. But we are not to love what they do, how they act, how they entertain themselves. We are not to love these things. But we are to love the people. We are to love all men. So in conclusion, John 3:16 and 1 John 2:15 do not contradict each other. They complement each other. We have to show godly love toward all people as the Father shows godly love to all people. But we are not to participate in what these people are doing, nor condone how they live their lives. This is not God's world, nor should it be ours. God's world is the world tomorrow.